and I trust the Lord's going to use him in this service. And Brother Bill, we're praying for you. God bless you, sir. Thank you for accepting our invitation to come. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Join me in taking your Bibles and turning to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to thank the young people for making the trip up from North Carolina. Yesterday, as we were coming up to the youth rally, I thought to myself, this snow is coming down. It's not coming down back home, but it is up here on top of this mountain. And thankfully, as we were coming down the mountain, things cleared up and they were able to make it just fine. And all these young people have something in common. You say, well, they're nicely dressed and groomed, and that may be the case, but the thing that they have in common is they love the Lord and they want to serve Him. And I'm glad that our campus at Ambassador is filled with young people that love the Lord and want to serve Him. The Lord certainly has been good to us this year and blessed us with students from 32 different states, 7 or 8 foreign countries, sitting in the classroom and with a desire to serve the Lord. The Lord's blessed us with a wonderful faculty. I love our faculty. I love being around them. These are men and women that not only have been educated in a classroom, but listen, they've served the Lord with their lives in the local church. There are times that I'll go to the men that are on our faculty that have much more wisdom than I do in some matters, and I'll sit down and I'll talk with them, and they share of their wealth of experience in the ministry, and it's a wonderful thing to have that available to our young people in the classroom. And this year, we just started off with an opening revival. God really did a work through that. I just had our Valentine's banquet last week, so if some of these young people look sappy, you'll know why. It's because the sap of love is just running off of them. And I will admit there are some new couples that have sprung up on our campus in the last few weeks. But we had our Valentine's banquet. Soon approaching will be spring break. And then we'll be heading into the summertime before we know it. And I want to encourage you, you're well familiar with the school, but stop by after the service and you'll see a number of items on the table. Our newest newsletter has just been published, The Ambassador. It has a lot of information about upcoming events at the school. If you do not receive this, you can sign up and receive it 4 times a year via the regular mail or email. And you'll see the list that's there on the back table. Also, we have our college brochure. It talks about the distinctives of our school. I hope that you'll take that and let it be a reminder to you of the things that make us a special place. A bookmark that all of you can take. And as you read, every time you see that, you can be reminded to pray for the school. Every summer at Ambassador, we have a summer ministry camp. You know, a lot of places have all kinds of camps. They have basketball camp. They have football camps. They have, you name it, whatever it is, they have that kind of a camp. Years ago, we decided, why not have a camp that its sole purpose is to encourage people to serve the Lord in the ministry? And I really have been amazed in what's happened over the last 15 years or so at Camp Barnabas, seeing young people in grades 7 through 12 that come on our campus for a week. They spend time with other young people that have a similar calling, and how their hearts are encouraged, and to see them go off and serve the Lord. Listen, we have young people that came to Camp Barnabas who are now on the mission field in Siberia. We have them traveling in evangelism. We have them all over the place. And I'd love to see some young people that are here at Buffalo Ridge. You'd say, you know what? God wants me to do something with my life. You take that week in July and you'd be amazed at how God could encourage your heart. Camp Barnabas, that brochure is available. And then a number of music items on the back table. Some of the songs that you heard this morning on this recording entitled So Filled with Wonder Am I. And then back in November, I released a new CD entitled Nearer Still Nearer. There are 10 solos, gospel hymns and songs that you find on this recording that's also available on the back table. A number of other items as well. See the gentleman after the service, and they'll be more than glad to help you with that. It's a joy to be back and to see so many familiar faces through the years, and also to see some new ones. And that's a sign of growth, and that's a sign of the Lord working. And so our hearts have already been encouraged in being here last night and being here this morning. I want to say this, that in May, first week of May, we're going to be honoring Brother Gary Seaman with an honorary doctorate. We wanted to make him a nurse, but we couldn't find a skirt that would fit him. So we said, you know what? But you know, all joking aside, one of the great delights we have at the school is just seeing people be faithful in the Lord's work through the years, whether as a pastor, whether as an assistant. as an evangelist, whatever the case in the ministry. And the Lord has led us to this opportunity that we have. And so I want to make you aware of that. It's going to be the first Friday in May. And we'll be having it during our commencement ceremonies at the college. And I hope that you'll make that a special time for Brother Gary. And we're looking forward to having he and his wife with us and for that honor. And, you know, one of the prerequisites is we had to get a bald person. So, and he and Brother Brubaker. When I think of Brother Brubaker, I think also of Brother Seaman, but not just because of their hair status, but their desire and their love for the Lord and their energy. And so we're looking forward to having him down with us. And Brother Jenkins, I did notice that you're getting a little more gray hair. Now, I will share this with you, and then we're going to get to preaching. Hopefully, you've found Ephesians chapter 4. If you haven't, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and a long ways after is the book of Ephesians. But I just had my world turned upside down, Brother Jenkins. I was preaching a meeting in Troy, Ohio, and I went into a Goodwill. And found a good bargain there. I was really excited. I'd found a brand new coat that had hardly been worn. I bought it for $5, and I was going to the counter to pay for it. All of that joy dissipated when the lady asked me, she said, "Now, are you 55 or older?" After I wept. You say, what's wrong with being 55 or older? Nothing, as long as that's what you are, you know. I called my wife looking for comfort, and she laughed. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a bad day. But anyway, you don't look like you've gotten there quite yet, but that gray hair, it comes in on us sooner than we think. And people say, Brother Bill, that's a good thing that you've got gray hair. And I said, well, if it's found in the way of righteousness, that's what the Bible says. That's the key. That's the important thing. But I want to thank Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for the part that you've had in the ministry of ABC through the years. Every week, I'm in communicating with alumni all over the world. And there are souls that are being saved. There are lives that are being changed. There are churches being planted. I wish that I could just give you a TV screen that would give you a glimpse of what God is doing. And you have a part in that. And I believe that there's fruit abounding to your account. And we're very grateful for the friendship with Brother Lashley and the encouragement that he has been through us to us through the years as well. Ephesians chapter 4, for our text this morning, we simply read one verse, and that verse being verse number 30. Ephesians 4, in verse number 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us this day. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus. And Lord, at that moment, entering into a great relationship with you. And Lord, I wish that I could say, standing before these people, that I've always been what I should be. Lord, I wish that I could say for all of us that our relationship has always been strong with you. But we're reminded in this verse that there are times we disappoint you. Lord, there are times that we grieve you. God, there are times that we hurt your heart. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do his special work again this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to see the state of our souls before you. And that, Lord, that we would see whether you delight in us or, Lord, whether you're grieved. And we pray now for your convicting work in Jesus' name. Amen. You know as well as I do that all of us are creatures of emotion. We all know what it means to laugh and how laughter is like a good medicine, is it not? I remember after a particularly hard week, I was preaching a meeting in West Virginia, and this is really, I guess, something more or less that pastors would have to understand, but it was something, it was such a great laugh, I'll never forget it. I was sitting down with a preacher friend of mine in West Virginia. I was preaching a meeting for him, and we were staying up late at night, and you know how it is sometimes when you stay up late at night and you begin to get giddy. And we were talking to each other, and he looked at me and he said, "Let me tell you about something that happened at a funeral just recently that just made me laugh." And he said that at this funeral, it was in West Virginia, and they were going to have the burial out in the middle of nowhere. They were out in the midst of these mountains, and it must have been a family graveyard. And they were standing there, and the family wanted to do something that this pastor had only seen a couple of times. They wanted to release a dove as their loved one was being lowered into the ground. And so he thought, well, you know, I don't know what all that's about necessarily, but I can't find anything unbiblical about it, so I guess we'll do it for sentimental value. And so the pastor said he was standing there, and they were about to release the dove. He said the funeral home director leaned over to him, and he said, "I hope that what happened at the last funeral doesn't happen at this one." And the pastor was a little apprehensive, and he said, "I don't know, what was it?" And the funeral home told him that at the last funeral that he had conducted, they had released a dove at the burial of their loved one, and right as they released the dove, a big chicken hawk flew out of the tree and grabbed that dove and killed it right in front of everybody. He said, "That is awful." And folks, I'm not the kind to just laugh at other people's calamity, but I mean for minutes we laugh. Have you had a good laugh where you just had tears streaming down your face? And it was just, and by the time that you finished laughing, you'd forgotten about every care in the world. We all know what it's like to laugh. You know, we all know what it's like to be afraid and to be angry. I remember one time a friend of mine scared me to death. And when he scared me to death, when all of that took place, it was actually a concocted plan. When they scared me, I remember just feeling so helpless and scared and afraid. And once I realized what had happened, I still can remember the anger rising in my soul. I mean, just like a thermometer, all of a sudden that anger was there. I'd never experienced those two emotions in such close proximity like that. Being so fearful and then all of a sudden so angry. I look across an auditorium here this morning. You say, "Oh yeah, we're well acquainted with emotion." Some of you say, "Oh, I'm very well acquainted with laughter." Others of you say, "I'm acquainted with fear. I know all about that getting scared to death stuff that happens in my house." Some of you say, "I know what it's like for indignation to rise in my soul." But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know what it is like to grieve? I can still remember seeing one of my friends during college in a casket. And after seeing his body in the casket and sitting down, watching his wife see him one last time, and watching that little frame shake and see her collapse in a pew, grieving. You know, grief is a pretty powerful emotion. And what we find in Ephesians chapter 4 is this, that the individual that chooses to disobey God is an individual that chooses to hurt God. And this morning I want to preach to you a message entitled, "How to Hurt God." Now please understand, by giving you that title this morning, I'm not implying that God has a weakness. Listen to me. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. And while everything in this world may fight against Him, in the end, God will come out victorious. I'm not implying this morning that God has some weakness or imperfection, but I am saying this, that God has the capacity to be grieved by you and by me. None of us in this room enjoy getting bad news. None of us in this room desire to be grieved. And can I tell you, God Almighty does not deserve any grief that we put upon Him because of our disobedience. And so I want you to see several thoughts from the text this morning, and I want you to ask yourself the question right now as you sit in the pew. Are you bringing delight to God or are you grieving Him? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the first question I want to ask you this morning is this: who are we hurting? When we sin with our lips, when we sin with our hands and our feet, when we sin with our thoughts, who is it that we are grieving this morning? The text makes it very clear that we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in thinking about the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you something this morning, and don't you forget it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is just as real as you're sitting in that pew this morning. Now, I'm afraid because we've never seen the Holy Spirit, although I will say this, I have seen the effects of the Holy Spirit upon a person. I've seen people weep as they trust Christ. I've seen people who shake with conviction. Listen, I have seen the effects of the Holy Spirit, but I've never seen the Holy Spirit with my eyeballs. But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is a person. But the average Christian today lives as if the Holy Spirit is not a person. You say, what do you mean? My daughter Karis is 6 years old. After having two boys, let me tell you something. I learned more than ever that God created girls differently. Now, I married one, and I knew that she was different than me, but watching my little daughter, my boys wanted guns. My boys wanted army tanks and army men. My daughter wants dolls. She wants tea parties. And I can watch my daughter. It's really interesting. Sometimes I'll be standing in the kitchen area and I'll look over to the stairway that leads up to the boys' bedroom. And my daughter will have all those dolls sitting there on that staircase. And you know what she's doing? She's teaching Sunday school. Now, I don't dare just stare at her straight on because if I do that, it'll embarrass her. But I'll be looking at my wife and then I'll look out of the corner of my eye and I'll see Karis. She says, "Now, Sally, if you come in next week and you don't have your memory verse memorized, I'm talking to your mama." Billy, quit touching her. I mean, it's really a cute thing. I mean, God has put a motherly instinct in those little girls, has He not? And she's sitting there, and you know what she's doing? She's treating objects that are inanimate. Can I say it this way since she's not here? They're not real. She's treating them as if they're real. And I enjoy it. And you know, as she's doing that, every once in a while, she gets this sense that Daddy is watching her. And all of a sudden, unprompted, she turns around. And when she turns around, I go like this. And every once in a while, she catches me and she says, "Daddy, stop it." Here's a little girl, 6 years old, treating doll babies as if they're real. I'd say this morning it's high time that a bunch of us adults started treating the Holy Spirit as if He's real. Do you believe the Holy Spirit this morning is a person? Listen to me. In Revelation 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The Bible tells us in John 15 and verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father," here it is, "He shall testify of me." In John 14 verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things." Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." What am I saying this morning? The Holy Spirit is a person because He speaks, because He testifies. Romans 8 and verse 26, and I'm thankful for this one, He intercedes. Inanimate objects don't do those things. My friend, another reason that I know that the Holy Spirit is a person is also because He can be resisted. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye," Stephen said. And not only was He resisted in Stephen's day, but my friend, He's resisted every day in our Bible-preaching churches. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. Listen, when we sin, we grieve a very real person. We grieve God Himself. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. Not only is He a person, but He is also God. That's why I say this morning, how to hurt God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, there's some of you, listen, you know what you do? You get a little bit of your teaching from the television set. And for a lot of you, you need to turn that off when it comes to some of those preachers that you hear. There's some of you, you watch Joel Osteen, you say, I'll tell you what, his smile is adorable. But let me tell you, his doctrine is damnable. And there are a lot of people out there that are teaching you all kinds of things about God, but I can tell you something, just by reading the Bible, you can nail it down that the Holy Spirit is God. You say, why is that? In Acts chapter 5, you know what? We find that the Holy Spirit is called God in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 4. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the Holy Spirit is called eternal. And the last time I checked, there's only one eternal being, and that's God. In Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, the Spirit of God is spoken as being omnipresent. My friend, God is omnipresent. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, he has attributed the attribute of being omnipotent, all-powerful, and that's only God. And in John 16 and verse 13, he is attributed with being omniscient. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is God. What am I saying? When we grieve the Holy Spirit, in essence, we are grieving God. And so I ask you this morning, you consider your ways this last week. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit of God? Number one, who do we grieve? Number two, how do we hurt the Holy Spirit? I believe that in one sense, he's hurt in a general sense. You say, what do you mean? I think when you read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 6, God looks over all mankind at that point. And he sees that the thoughts and the imaginations of their heart were wicked continually. And in Genesis 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, and it repented the Lord that he made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God looked down and he saw the wickedness of the entire world, and he was grieved at his heart. I wonder tonight, or this morning, as God looks at our churches, is he grieved at his heart because of our wickedness? The Bible tells us later on in Psalm 78 and verse 40, talking about the nation of Israel and how oft they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. An entire people grieving God. In Isaiah 63 and verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. You know, in a general sense, the Bible speaks about how that mankind grieved God, but I believe in this specific passage, he gives us specific things. Specific things that could be multiplied and expounded upon and added to, if we were honest. When you read the context of Ephesians chapter 4, you find in verse number 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. With our tongues and not telling the truth, we grieve God. Young person, you may tell a lie to your parents and you may escape their judgment, but all along you're breaking God's heart. Sir, you may register some lie at work. You may do something to save your hide, but you've sacrificed your conscience. Ma'am, it may be that you're hiding something and all along you think that everything is okay. And while everything looks good on the surface, the heart of God is grieved and sobbing over you. You find in verse number 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, there are some people in our churches that have a problem with anger. They'll be the kind of people that'll scream against homosexuality and yet they excuse their anger in the household every day. There are people that'll look at some heinous sin and say that's horrible and yet they'll come home and they'll take it out on their wife and their children every day of the week and they excuse their anger. Can I tell you, with every coarse word and with every harmful act that is motivated by anger, listen to me, we're grieving the Spirit of God. We're hurting him. And then it continues on in the text. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Talking about those that steal. My friend, stealing is not just something where you go to the bank and you hold up somebody at gunpoint. Stealing is coming in late to work and punching in as if you came early. These are the kinds of things that grieve God. And listen to me, we will never experience corporate revival or individual revival unless we're willing to see these quote-unquote little things that grieve the heart of God. People say, why aren't we having revival? I'll tell you why. Because we're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord so that He will lift us up. We're more concerned about image than we are reality. We're more concerned about who people think we are as opposed to who God knows I am. And as long as we continue there, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will be grieved. And then we find in the verse after our text, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What is he saying? He's saying in all of these things, they grieve the Spirit of God and they must be purged. I have a friend of mine right now who's trying to get into the doctor because he's very, very concerned about a condition that he has. And because of his concern, let me tell you, there's great urgency pressing upon his soul. The very moment his insurance clears is the very moment he's going to try to get that appointment. Why? Because he is so concerned about his physical health, and rightly so. I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if that same concern was translated into our souls spiritually, and we saw bitterness as if it was cancer, if we saw this morning our thought lives and where they've been as being the most dreaded disease, let me tell you, we'd run to an altar and we'd run to the great physician and we'd seek healing for our souls. But we just don't see that our sin grieves God. We continue on day after day after day in anger, in lying. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let me tell you that gossip can ruin someone and ruin an entire church just as much as anything. An unkind word, an unpleasant thought, an unrestrained action, and we grieve Him. Number one, who do we grieve? We grieve God, the Holy Spirit. Number two, how do we hurt the Holy Spirit? We hurt Him in a general sense, but then specific things mentioned in the text. But here's the last thing that I'd like to leave you with this morning, and it's this. What does the Holy Spirit do to us when we grieve Him? I want you to think outside the Bible for a minute, and I just want you to think humanly speaking. What do you do when somebody hurts you? I'll tell you what I did, especially as a kid. When somebody hurt me, I don't take pride in this, but you know what? When somebody hurt me, I wanted to hurt them. And I would try my best to. I remember one day my neighbor came over and he shot me with his BB gun. You know, after he did that and he shot me in the backside, I didn't turn around and drop my gun and say, now listen, let's talk about this. I love you. I want to help you and you need to stop doing that. Now come over here and I'll take you to McDonald's. I'll get Dad to take me to McDonald's and I'll buy you a shake and we'll call it even. You know, that thought was the farthest thing from my mind. I wanted to take that Daisy gun and just cock it up there and turn around and you know what? In his general vicinity. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying this, that I wanted to retaliate. Now I'm going to tell you something. That takes place not just in playgrounds, but in churches. You ever been done wrong before? Somebody hurt you? Somebody bring your wife to the point of tears. You want to shake that man's heart and say, bless your heart, I'm so glad you did that. somebody brings you to the point where they inflict a little pain on you, you want to go to them and say, hey, I really appreciate that. No, in our humanity, our reaction is, you hurt me, then I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad God's not that way. Now, I want you to see the text with me again. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I'm going to make it very clear before this point is out. I'm not excusing sin, and I'm not giving anybody a license to sin. And I'll make that very plain before it's over with. But I'm so thankful in times past when I've disappointed God that God didn't drop me like a hot potato and say, that's it, Bill. If you want to do that, then you're going to hell. You know, a lot of things happened the day that I got saved. A lot of things I didn't know about. If you had come up to me and you'd said, now, Brother Bill, did you know, now listen, as a 12-year-old boy, you've just gotten saved. Did you realize that when you got saved that the Holy Spirit renewed you? I looked at you and said, huh? And you could have quoted to me Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I would have looked at you and said, wow. You know, if you had told me at the moment that I got saved and you'd said, Alton, do you know that the Holy Spirit indwells you? I would have said, in what? And you quoted to me Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I would have looked at you and I would have said, wow, He's in me. If you would have come to me and you'd said, now there's going to be times, Alton, that the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you, I would have said, now I do know a little bit about that. I experienced that before I got saved. I realized that I was lost and undone and something was churning inside of me. And you would have quoted to me John chapter 16 verses 8 through 11. Now I would have said, I know a little bit about that. If you would have told me, you would have said, Alton, I want you to know what else the Holy Spirit helps you to communicate with God. I would have looked at you and said, whoa. But that's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's what all the Holy Spirit, that doesn't even scratch the surface really for what the Holy Spirit does for me. And the thing that amazes me, ladies and gentlemen, is that when I disappoint and I hurt God, that seal remains unbroken. I'm sealed into the day of redemption. You know what that's a testimony of? That's not the testimony of a Christian living a licentious life. I'll tell you what it's a testimony of. It's a testimony of the mercy and the grace of God. But I'm afraid there are a lot of people that presume on that mercy and they presume on that grace. You may be here this morning and you'd say, Brother Bill, I know I'm saved, but I'll tell you what, I'm not living for God and I think I'm just going to continue hurting God. Listen, you may do that, but I encourage you before too long, you better read Hebrews chapter number 12. And you'll find for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, He disciplines. And when you have God's hand upon you in a very distinct way, let me tell you, you will know it. And you'll understand the folly of your plans. My friend, you're here this morning. You're living an unfaithful life. You're living a mediocre, complacent Christianity. Listen, you can continue doing that and be satisfied in and of yourself. But when God gets your attention as one of His children, it'll be time to wake up. But I'm amazed at the faithfulness of God. He's faithful to us when we've been so unfaithful to Him. And my fear is there are some of you this morning, you're presuming on the faithfulness of God. And one of these days soon, you're going to realize that the God who loves you so much cares enough to discipline you and to get your attention and to usher you in the right way. And for a heart that is so set in himself and running from God, James teaches us there's even a thing called a sin unto death. In which a man can go to what would be termed as a premature grave by the world, by his own choice and by his own rebellion. If you continue to grieve him, I want to close this morning by telling you this. Every person in this room has hurt God. There's some of you, you say, now, Brother Bill, I try to do everything good that I can. I've never lifted a finger towards my fellow man. You say, I try to help everybody. I think it's unfair that you say that all of us have hurt God. But I want you to know, we hurt God that day when the Lord Jesus Christ was whipped with the cat of nine tails. You better believe that we hurt God because we were in with the crowd that put the crown of thorns upon His head. My friend, we stood guilty as His hands were nailed to the cross and His feet were nailed to the cross. And along with that anguish that He experienced physically, imagine with me, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ hanging in pain and agony upon the cross to watch His own mother weep. As she saw her son dying a horrible death, He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. And until you come to the point to realizing that every individual in this room had a part in nailing Him to the tree, yourself included, until you're willing to acknowledge that fact, it'll be impossible for you to experience the greatest blessings in life. But my friend, when you come to the fact of your own sinfulness and you see yourself as a sinner, lost and undone before God, realizing that there's no forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ, and you come running to the cross of Calvary and you experience His cleansing blood and you're given new life, listen, my friend, your life has changed. And then you can know what it's like to live a life of pleasing God. But Christian, I want you to imagine with me the pounding of those nails into His hands. I want you to imagine with me the noise that comes through the air with the stroke of every stroke of that hammer that hits upon those nails. I want you to hear with me just a moment the winces that come from the physical pain that is being inflicted and the groans and the grunts. Not groans of resentment. Not groans of why am I doing this, but just groans of experiencing the pain and the humanity that Jesus was subjected to, that subjected Himself to, and the pain that He experienced. Imagine with me hearing the weeping all around as His loved ones who were there saw this taking place. Imagine with me the grief that filled the air there at Calvary. And Christian, I leave you with this question. If we caused God all of that grief so big, with what took place that day on Calvary, why in the world do we want to grieve the heart of God again? After grieving God to such an extent that far exceeds our imagination, why in the world do we want to choose to walk out of these doors and grieve God some more? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Every person in this room has hurt God. You say, how did I hurt Him? I hurt Him on Calvary. He died for my sin, and He died for yours. Now, has there ever been a time in your life where you realize that you put Him on the tree? And not only that you put Him on the tree, but that you were in need of forgiveness, and whether it was in a church service or maybe in the privacy of your home, that you opened the Word of God and you saw these words that meant the world to you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. My friend, I want to encourage you to reflect on that day just a moment. And I wonder how many here today in this auditorium you could give testimony and you'd say, Brother Bill, as I sit here today, there was a time in my life that I saw myself as a sinner before God. And not only did I see my sinfulness, but I saw the sacrifice of Calvary. And as I sit here this morning, I can give testimony of the fact I know that I am saved by the grace of God. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Listen, if you can do that and give testimony of your salvation, would you slip your hand up and keep it up just a moment? Slip it up and raise it up high just for a moment. Keep it up. All right, you may put them down. My friend, if you're here today and you're either not sure, you know that you're not saved, listen, there's a merciful God in heaven who's waiting for you to come to Him today. He wants to seal you. He wants to make you a child of God. But He wants you to come willingly. And I wonder how many here today you would say, "Preacher, as I sit in this auditorium this morning, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, but I do sense that conviction that you're talking about. The Holy Spirit of God is working in my heart, and as I sit here today, I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. And I realize that I have hurt God and I don't want to hurt Him anymore. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, God's been working in my heart, and I'm not interested in hurting God one minute more. I need to do business with Him today. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Listen, if that's you, friend, would you just slip your hand up, slip it up high, long enough for me to see it, slip it up high. Would you do that? Either in the balcony or the main floor, you'd say, "Brother Bill, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Just slip it up and slip it up high, long enough for me to see it. Anybody like that? All right. My last question is to every child of God in this place. We've talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him with our tongues, grieve Him with our thoughts and our actions. And I wonder how many of you this week you'd say, "Brother Bill, I've heard the message. And not only have I heard the message, but I've heard the clear message that God has done in my heart this morning. I look over the last little bit of my life and I realize, you know what, I've grieved God. I've not just grieved my family or grieved individuals, but more importantly, I've grieved God." And you'd say this morning, you'd say, "Brother Bill, I'm saved, but I realize there's some things that are not right in my life. God has shown me that above and beyond everybody else that I'm grieving the Lord. And I'm tired of grieving God. And by God's grace, I want to leave here, not with Him being grieved with me, but being delighted with me. And would you pray for me as I claim John 1:9 this morning?" Christian, if that's you, would you slip your hand up? Slip it right up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Who else here this morning, you'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm tired of grieving God, and by God's grace, I want to deal with it this morning." Who else this morning? God bless you. In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to have an invitation. My invitation is simply this: seek the Lord while He may be found. Don't you wait and reason yourself out of anything. I wouldn't worry about what anybody else thinks. Listen, you let this be a personal moment between you and God. And when the invitation is given, I want to encourage you to come. I want to encourage you to just lay your soul bare before God. And you know what? That God will shower you with mercy and grace. He'll forgive you. And my friend, He can empower you to not live in those sinful habits, if you'll but trust Him this morning. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, Lord, during this invitation this morning, You know the need of our hearts. Lord, You know the things that have grieved You. And I'm so thankful that there are people in this room that are sensitive to You, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I believe that their concerns, I believe their response this morning is genuine, and I pray that God, You'd help them now in these fleeting moments of this service. I pray for those that raise their hands that, God, they'd come. Lord, they'd just put their soul bare before You, and God, that they would experience a wonderful, wonderful time with You. Lord, I pray for others here who didn't raise their hands, but they know just as sure as they're standing there that they've grieved You. And Lord, while they may hide it from the world, they've not hid it from You. Lord, I pray that they too would come. And I pray that this would be a time in which grieving would be turned to rejoicing, as You humble our hearts today in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as they begin to play the song of invitation. I want to ask you, would you step out and come right now? Don't worry about anybody else, but just step out and come right now. You'd say, "I'm not going to grieve God one moment more. God's working in my heart. Why don't you come?" If we want to experience revival and we want to experience blessing, let me tell you, we need to see who we're really grieving this morning. Thank you. In a moment, our brother's going to lead us in that familiar first verse. If you don't know it, you could just hum the tune. But my friend, if you know it, while people pray and as they come, I'm going to ask you just simply to sing it with him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And there's time for you to come, friend. Why don't you step out right now? As Brother Seaman leads us, our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, Brother Jenkins is going to come. What is it this morning that God has dealt in your heart about? You say, I've grieved God. Why don't you come? Sometimes the work of the Lord is like just a slow rain. Sometimes it's like a flood. You know, it may be this morning that you still need to come. Some broken this morning. Why don't you just step out? We want to give the Lord time this morning to work. We're not extending an invitation just for the sake of extending an invitation. When God's dealing with some hearts this morning, why don't you let him deal with yours?
Sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.
Remind you of a couple of things. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the ensemble. And Brother Bill, if you wouldn't mind, Brother and Mrs. Scoville, God bless you folks for coming. They'll be out in the lobby. I do encourage you to go by the table out there and pick up some of these things. That'll be great. And I appreciate Brother Bill and his friendship, the college there. Brother Bob Mann wanted me to announce to all of those who have if you have a child that's right now in third through fifth grade, in other words, next year they're going into fourth through sixth grade, there'll be a meeting tonight after church concerning junior camp. So make special note of that. That'll be good. I do remind you as well that the sermon that I preached last Sunday morning that many of you wanted a copy of, it is out on the Welcome Center out there. Take them and please use them any way you see fit. If you want to burn more CDs, good night, help yourself. All we're trying to do is just getting the word out. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to take it, make more copies, or if you'd like to have more copies, if you'll let us know. If we run out of that particular message, there's a sign-up sheet right beside it there. You just write your name down saying that you'd like to have a copy, or two, or three, or ten, whatever. We want to get this message out, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. Use it in our hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Hopefully you'll be back tonight, 6:30, right in your place. Thank you.